You're listening to the newest episode of Adrift, written and read by Doyce Testerman. Every few days, we'll bring you another installment of the story, as it's written, as part of an insane overcomplication of what should be a simple first draft writing project. I'd like to invite you to come by my website, doycetesterman.com, to join in the conversation, or you can contact me directly at doyce@doycetesterman.com. With all that said, let's get back to the story.
Daddy, I want you to tell me a princess story with a squirrel.
Squirrel? You mean Mac the squirrel?
Yeah. I like how his voice is funny. He's my favorite in the whole wide world.
Oh, really? Your favorite?
Yes. He's my favorite in my whole life.
Okay, bud. Fly back. Once upon a time, the princess was bored. Everywhere in the kingdom, it was raining, and it had been raining for weeks and weeks.
What's raining, Daddy?
It's when water falls from the sky, Bug.
You told me that. You said that didn't ever happen.
Well, it doesn't happen on Caliban, sweetie, but it happens in some places.
Can I see?
We'll go someplace where it rains. Yes, okay? The princess hadn't been able to go outside for weeks. She thought about going to the Forest of Anything to find a place where it wasn't raining, but the path from the castle was so muddy, people kept getting stuck, so she stayed inside. But she was very bored. She'd played all her games 100 times. She'd drawn pictures until she'd run out of colors. The garden was soaked, the observatory was closed up, and no one wanted to play. So the princess thought about what to do, and finally decided to go find Mac the squirrel, because Mac was always up to something.
Look at what the Billabill dragged in. Ain't this just a lovely unexpected intrusion?
Mac, I said, good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Captain.
He let the name trail off expectantly.
Jit makes commencement of speech with me, said Andy. This is Captain, if you like.
Mac snapped his fingers and gave the Billabill a grateful smile.
There it is, Captain, if you like. I'm terrible with names. You just have to forgive me.
He waved us closer.
But it's always a pleasure to see a good customer come back to me. No finer vote of confidence. How about we all step inside and talk business?
Mac's words and the tone with which they were delivered were friendly and welcoming. His expression, on the other hand, conveyed a different message, something closer to, what the hell are you doing here? The combination made the conversation more than a little surreal.
Sounds like just the thing, I said. Lead the way.
Oh, I insist, he stretched a sardonic bow. After you, if you please.
If you like, Billabill said.
My mistake, Mac said, his eyes never leaving mine. I walked up the ramp and into the building. Mac punched a code into the pad just inside the opening to the first chamber of his shipping container Warren, and the jury-rigged ship's gangplank mounted to the outside slowly drew up and sealed the door. With the outside illumination cut off, the space within was, at best, gloomy and badly lit.
Cheery, John said.
He watched the smaller man with obvious suspicion. The two were, and always had been, a study in opposites. Mac's pale, bland expression, John's crags and creases. Compact and quick versus rangy and raw-boned, subtle and straightforward. Some might have taken those contrasts and forged an unexpected synergy. John and Mac had taken another route. Mac turned away from the keypad.
In a profession like mine, windows are more of a hindrance than a help. You lot should understand that better than anyone.
He looked at me. It's good to see you, Finn. Likewise, I replied. Do I need to ask about the Street Barker Act outside?
I don't have friends around here, he said.
That's a shame, I replied, waiting for the rest of the explanation. He rocked his head back and forth.
Tearful reunions with anyone who might suddenly decide to drop in from out of the great wide world would attract the attention of a fellow who wants to see you cut into small, uniform cubes.
As though you wouldn't call him anyway, John said.
John, I began.
Excuse me, Mac said, raising an eyebrow at John in annoyance. Have I ever given you reason to doubt my loyalty and good intentions?
Varro, John said. Scroop, Chiron, keep down.
Goneril, I added.
The point is, Mac said, glaring at both of us, anything I did in those particular situations came clear in the end. My actions were entirely justified.
Justifiable, I corrected him.
Not the same thing.
It's just peculiar,
John said, cutting in before Matt could reply,
how Burns had such a mad on for some of us, but others can set up shop on his doorstep, and they're just fine.
Max spread his hands out, palms up, toward John. Well, there you go, then. You've just explained it.
He looked at me, his brow lowered.
It's all wrapped up in that little word, us.
This is really not the time for you to play one of your little cons, John said.
I wish it were a con, Mac replied, his eyes never leaving me. The fact of the matter is, I wasn't part of your precious us by the time everything went toward explosive decompression with Burns.
The corner of his mouth quirked up in a smile that showed no interest in heading toward his eyes.
I would have been, given any choice in the matter, but it never came up, did it, Captain?
Doesn't mean he couldn't have used you as leverage,
John countered, though his tone had lost some of its edge.
Yet somehow he didn't.
Mac turned his head to look at John, nodding, his eyebrows raised. Oh, we had a talk about that, he and I, not very long after your little spat. Once everyone had healed up enough to point guns in the correct directions.
He took a few steps, looking up at the ceiling as though reminiscing.
Dropped in with a double handful of his bully boys. A few wanted to use me as some kind of example, but Burns knew better.
His gaze dropped back to me. Knew you better, I should say. Knew I wasn't one of the ones you'd come back for.
That's not true, I managed, though I could hardly hear my own voice. Mac looked at me, his face completely blank. Then his expression reanimated as he pretended to consider the possibility.
It's possible, I suppose. Have to give it some thought. However, he eyed me, be that as it may, I'm in no particular danger now, and I have not sent up any sort of distress signal of which I am aware, so it's a fair bet to say that I'm not the reason you're here now.
He jerked open the hatch leading into the next container. Let's go up to my office and chat about that. When Mac the Squirrel had first come to the castle, the princess had offered him a very nice guest room with a comfortable bed and lots of windows to let in sunshine. But the squirrel thanked her and asked her if it would be all right if he found his own room. The princess asked the king, who said it would be fine as long as he didn't pick a room that someone was already using for something. Mac thanked them both, giving a deep, if squirrely, bow, and set off to explore the castle. The princess didn't see or hear from Mac for several days, until one day he appeared, somewhat dusty but very excited, and informed her that he had found exactly the room he was looking for. He asked her if she would come see the room he had picked, and she said yes, though she was secretly concerned that he might have selected one of the rooms meant for royal guests or other important visitors. She didn't need to worry. Mac led her to a door the princess had never even seen before, high up in one of the narrow towers that no one really used very much, and pushed it open to reveal an old storeroom. At first, the princess had thought he was joking, but she could see from his excitement that he was not. "Where will you sleep?" asked the princess.
"Right here," said Mac, pointing to a pile of old burlap sacks. "They're soft enough, and they smell like grain and nuts."
"It's so gloomy," said the princess.
"There's a window,"
pointed out Mac. And the princess saw that he was right. One window, very high up on the wall, just above some of the highest shelves.
"I've climbed up to it and looked out. The view is very nice, and I don't like to be someplace too bright when I sleep."
"I suppose," said the princess, "if you like it."
"I love it," squeaked Mac. "Look at all those shelves for holding things. Everything I could possibly want to keep, there will be room for. It's wonderful."
"What sort of things?" asked the princess.
Oh, you know," Mac said. "Just things."
So the princess went to the king and asked if it was all right, and the king said yes, and Mac was very happy. That was where the princess went on that rainy day to find her friend. "Mac," she called as she climbed the steps. There was no answer, but the princess thought she could hear something up ahead, so she kept climbing. Mac's room was very high up in one of the towers. When she got to the door to Mac's room, she stopped for a moment to listen for the noise she had heard, and heard it again. Mac was singing. The princess couldn't believe it. With all the rain and gloom and general dampness, it simply didn't seem possible that the squirrel could be as happy as he sounded. She knocked on the door, hoping her friend could share his secret. At her knock, the singing paused and the door opened.
"Princess," said Mac, "it's very nice to see you. Would you like to come inside?"
"I would," said the princess. "What are you doing on this very rainy day?"
"Just organizing,"
said Mac as the princess stepped inside. The princess had to admit that the room didn't look as though it was very organized. It was cleaner than it had been the first time she had seen it. At least, there was no more dust. but it was terribly, terribly cluttered. Almost half of the shelves in the room had been stacked with every sort of item imaginable, piled in no kind of order the princess could see. "Is that the guard captain's riding crop?" asked the princess.
"Yes," said Mac. "He left it behind in the stables a few weeks ago. I brought it back here so that no one would take it. I plan to return it to him after the rain stops, as a surprise."
"Oh," said the princess. "Are those the gardener's pruning shears?"
"Right again," said the squirrel. "I found them lying in the garden, so I brought them back here and cleaned them up for him. I plan to return them the next time I see him."
The princess nodded again and looked at more of the things on the shelves. The more she looked, the more she noticed that almost everything on the shelves was something that technically belonged to someone else. Every time she asked about one of the items, Mac explained where he had found it, abandoned and in grave danger of being damaged or misplaced, and how he had brought it back to his room for safekeeping until such a time as he could return it to the grateful owner. "Is that my tortoiseshell comb?" asked the princess.
"I was hoping you'd notice that," said Mac, smiling a big squirrely smile. "You left it on the riverbank just outside the castle the day you went swimming. I found it a few hours after you went back inside for supper."
"That was months ago," said the princess. "You've seen me dozens of times since then."
"I was waiting for the right moment," Mac said, giving her a hug. "And today was it."
The princess couldn't help but feel good at her friend's hug, but as she squeezed him back, she noticed a gleam high up on one of the shelves. A very familiar gleam. "Mac," she said, stepping back and squinting upward. Is that the king's crown?"
Thanks for listening to this installment of Adrift, written and read by Doyce Testerman. This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.com. Adrift was first conceived as a serialized flash fiction story told 140 characters at a time via Twitter, and in fact continues today and every day as an ongoing story. You can check it out on Twitter at www.twitter.com/finris or on my website at doystesterman.com/adrift. Our intro music is Invisible Walls by Revolution Void off their album Increase the Dosage, available from Jamendo.com. Our outro music is Struttin' by Triad, also available from Jamendo.com. There are many people to thank for their help and input on this project, but the two I'd like to specifically mention are my wife Kate and Tim White, perhaps best known in this arena for his Return to Northmoor podcast. Without their help and support, this project simply would not exist. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
System to its knees.